Well, two friends were talking. One says to the other, I have a mountain of credit card debt. I lost my job. My car is being repossessed. My house is in foreclosure. But I'm not worried about it. And his other friend said, well, that is amazing. Why is that? He goes, I have hired a personal, professional worrier. He does all my worrying for me, so I don't have to think about it. And he said, well, that's fantastic. Might I ask, how much do his services cost? He said, $50,000 a year. He said, $50,000 a year? Where are you going to get that kind of money? He said, I don't know. That's his worry. A lot of you have asked Rochelle and me, what are we going to do? How are we going to be? Are we going to be okay after leaving Redeemer by the Sea? And I appreciate the concern, but we're not worried about it. We have a professional worrier. His name is Jesus. And as he said in the gospel reading we just read, do not worry. He tells us not to worry, and that's going to guide our time together today. So why don't we begin with a prayer? You can just join your hearts with me as we pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this promise, this gracious word from our Lord Jesus, who tells us that we need not worry because you are worrying for us. You are seeing to the details of our life. Let each of us here today just lean into that promise and find the conviction and the strength to trust you with every breath. I ask now, God, that you would guide the time that we have together today as we both look back over the years of ministry together and we celebrate what you're going to do through all of us in the future. So bless this time. We invite your presence with us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus tells us, don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. And the reason that it's possible is because he's worrying about all those things for us. That's why right after he says this, a little bit later, he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We need only worry about the one thing needful, and that's God's kingdom, because he is seeing to and taking care of all the rest. If you're here today and you have any worries or anxieties, fears for the future, and there's really a gamut, there's a spectrum from whether you're worried about interest rates to possible recession, whether you're worried about coronavirus or Ukraine, from politics to public safety, or whether you're worried about the future of the Ida Chico family or the future of Redeemer by the Sea. To all of these things, Jesus says, do not worry. Seek and serve my kingdom first and put your trust in me. So as we think about that today, we would do well to do something that we see so often done in Scripture, and that is we find hope for our future by looking at God's faithfulness in our past. This is actually, I think, a mark of Christian maturity. We have seen that the more years you have on this earth, the more you see how God has been faithful through it all. He's been faithful time and time again. And if we're learning from that and we're paying attention to that, it allows us to trust him for what he's going to do in the future. So today marks, as Joel said, 11 and a half, a little more than 11 years of ministry, 12 Easters at Redeemer by the Sea. Looking back, it's been wonderful, and in one sense, and I don't know if you find this when you look back over your life as well, sometimes it seems like it was, you know, a whole lifetime, and other times it seems like it was a blink. And I get that feeling when I think about how I skipped the first note. This is in your notes. We're going to look at God's faithfulness in the past. And I just think about how fast the time has gone and all that God has been through us with. This is our family. When we first left the seminary and started our first call, our poor kids, they're just used to this. We have all of our kids here. Raise your hand, family row there. My sister's visiting from Phoenix, my nephew. Our new daughter-in-law and her wonderful parents, all the way from North Carolina, excuse me. So you guys weren't all in this picture. What's so funny? South Carolina. Details. Okay. Sorry about that. I mean, it makes a big difference to you, I know. But so this is when we first started. This is when we started at Redeemer by the Sea. Some of you were here for this day. And then here are our kids just, you know, this actually was about 5 years ago, so... time is passing, and God has been with us through it all. And so to kind of take a minute to reminisce and think of just the number of things that God has done in our ministry here. I asked some people to share with me some of just significant moments, milestones, thoughts that came to their mind from the years in ministry at Redeemer. And so some of this is, you know, stuff that people share with me. Others are things that just came to my mind prompted by their emails. And I have it on the screen in no particular alphabetical order. Starting with A, Angel Tree. Boy, what a wonderful ministry over the years. Each Christmas blessing more than 100 Marine families right in our backyard through the generosity of this congregation. Just this congregation and our school. And they've really come to appreciate that, and so do I. Some of you were here and remember the chili cook-off out in this area of the parking lot. And if you've been here long enough, you might recognize some people on the screen that have either moved or moved on to heaven. And that's just kind of, I think, what happens with a decade. I could have put for each of these, I think I could have put up like 1,000 pictures, but just Christmas, all the kids' programs, the Christmas pageants, the things we did out in the lobby with the tree, all the concerts and choirs, whether it was our own choir doing the cantata or the homeless choir or the girls' choir that visited and performed here, our wonderful praise band performing outside, inside, other visiting choirs. Now, I know I'm probably going to upset some people because your confirmation picture isn't up here. This is just, if you want to see all the confirmation pictures, you got to go down in the hallway. They're on the wall, or at least they were a little bit ago. And just confirmation, it's just a significant time in people's lives, and people reminded me of that. The fellowship that we enjoyed, sometimes here on our patio, sometimes out, like those are the birthday lunches in people's homes. We did some outings. This was the Christmas trolley, Christmas lights trolley tour that we took in downtown San Diego back when we did the Easter brunch in the fellowship hall. And then all the growth groups that I pray that all of you are a part of, just a wonderful opportunity to extend the blessing of the community that we enjoy here on Sunday out into your homes, gathered around various interests and usually around food and the Word of God. And then the LWML, the ladies' ministry, the events that they've done, if you remember the Downton Abbey tea downstairs and different presenters, and then all the different service projects that they've done year in and year out. Mission trips that we've taken. This was down to San Diego and working, I think this next one, feeding in St. Joe's homeless shelter, and then packaging up and sorting things out for the San Diego Rescue Mission. And then people reminded me of the pandemic and just how we, the things that we had to do and some of the creativity that came out from finding a new way to do communion outside. We discovered, well, we can have communion still just outside, and the kids can do the Christmas program for the preschool outside, and the drive-through graduation program, and continuing to do our service projects, but, you know, wearing masks and bringing the lunches to the community. And then all the picnics. Too numerous to mention. Some on our property, some off of our property, ice cream socials. It's remote. And then, here's just more with the bouncies for the kids and the great food. And then the preschool over the years, month by month, chapels in here and then out on the steps. And then the jogathon and just the fun, you know, cat in the hat and just the wonderful ministry that goes on at the school. And some of you are here, some of you have been here long enough to remember the church, you know, before the remodels. That was room 4, which is now our youth lounge. I called it the preschool rapture when the preschool was in there with a classroom, and then they built the new preschool and the kids were gone, and it was kind of like still the signs were hanging on the wall. I was like, what are we going to do with this room now that it's not a classroom? So that became the lounge. You might remember this was the flower bed out here, and downstairs in the fellowship hall when we just had the TV on the stand, and even before that the mass of tables and chairs and file cabinets and those wonderful fluorescent lights. Of course, now you know what the fellowship hall is like now. The band and the choir area over here, that was just floor before. So the remodel project outside, the landscaping that we did, and then all the service projects, countless service projects, just Redeemer serves in the community, making a difference however we could, wherever there was need. Sometimes packing bags up for maybe senior centers or to give away wherever there was need. feed my starving children, both at the youth gathering and some of the local events. And then even in-house, our confirmation class, high school class, helping out with making things for Sunday school. And then the 25th anniversary, when we were able to celebrate 25 years of ministry here and get pastors from the past that were just part of the history of the church together. The workshops and the seminars that took place, the learning, the leadership visioning that we did over the years. And then just, worship experiences, just a few, like we've done some special things for Veterans Day, and then the nativity scene at Christmas, and then children's messages, and then all the youth events, going up to the mountains and laser tag, and or not laser tag, paintball, well, and laser tag, I just don't have any pictures of that, district gathering, and the one in the lower left was, I had a scar, got an infection. See, what happens when you're an old person and you play on kids' equipment, you get hurt and you have to take medicine. Anyway, and then just gathering it, for pool, and gosh, there's a lot of youth events. The one on the right, we won an award for, I can't remember, cleanliest cabin or most helpful group or something like that. And then Paul got the kids, some of them out of their comfort zone, climbing through Annie's Canyon here locally. If you haven't done it, see Paul about it. He can tell you how to get there. National youth gathering, just kickball, and did I say youth events, bowling, and confirmation retreats. But one of the things that really I think stuck out to me as we were reminiscing and kind of going back is I couldn't think of exactly how to capture it, but what came through time and time again was what I would consider just the ongoing word and sacrament ministry of the congregation, the baptisms, the confirmations, the weddings, and yes, the funerals, where God's people came together, and we enjoy the blessings. It's what the church is here for, this cradle-to-grave ministry, just walking alongside people throughout their life. And I dare say that existed before me, and it will exist after me, and it will exist after Pastor D, the church being the people of God and celebrating his wonderful gifts to us. So as I think about all this, I just, when we came to Redeemer those years ago, I would say we didn't have any of those specific plans in mind. We didn't set out to do any of those specific things, but what we knew we were going to do was God called and we were going to follow. And we joined a group of people who believe the same. God is calling, he's leading, we're going to do what he says, even in the face of fear and challenges. I know for our family personally, when we came to move out here, the kids were, were in schools that they were excelling at and doing very well. They had a good friend group, and to kind of pull them out of that, poor Alex, he had to finish up high school without us even being in Arizona. And that was a risk to us. It really was. We were kind of fearful about that and wondering how we were going to survive the cost of living in California. But we just trusted in God when we made that first step, and along the way we continue to trust in him. And what I hope you're getting from this is God is always faithful. So fast forward to where we are today. We've had a number of changes. We've had service schedule changes. We've had remodels. We've had staff changes. We've had the pandemic. And yet one thing has been constant: God's word and sacrament ministry among his faithful people. And that's going to remain. It's going to remain through even more staff changes, even more possibly schedule changes, or likely, I can't say for sure, but I'm betting, more remodels or building programs. It's just how God rolls, if I can say that in a kind of not sacrilegious sort of a way. God is rolling. But it's how he works. He tells us, seek him, seek his kingdom. And then all these changes, all these challenges that come along the way, we're tempted to see them as obstacles. He sees them as opportunities, and he grows us through them. And if we are willing to stop and look, it looks like chaos to us, but it's a wonderful, beautiful tapestry that he's weaving throughout all those years of blessing. So I just want to take an opportunity to look back and really take stock of what God has been doing. He's always working. As I said in the beginning, he's always loving, he's always calling, even if we don't see it. He's always faithful. So that allows us then, hopefully, to worry less as we look forward. We've trusted him all these years, and we're going to continue to trust him for the next chapter of our walk with him, and you will too at Redeemer. So in fact, people have been asking us, okay, so what's next for Pastor Augie and Rochelle? Well, I'd say the next is you guys have to let go of Rochelle. She's still here. She's still working in the office. But even beyond that, I will say, and I know it's kind of disappointing, I don't have any plans to report. Nothing has been decided yet, but that's by design. We are intentionally taking a season of sabbatical or Sabbath combined with prayerful exploration and expectation, just expecting God, similarly to how it was 11 years ago when a congregation from Carlsbad called us out of nowhere and caused us to ask the question, what does God want us to do next in ministry? Where is he calling us to go and how to serve? And so that's what I want to use the rest of my time here this morning with you, because I think that's a question that's good for all of us from time to time to take a step back and ask the question of ourselves and our family, what is God doing in my life right now? What does he want to do through me next? And what that does is that requires us to listen not so much to our voice, not so much the cacophony of what Scripture, the voices that are in the world, but what Scripture calls listening for the gentle whisper or the still small voice of God. And maybe you find yourself at a time where you're asking the question, how do I discern God's will? How do I hear Jesus say, seek his kingdom. How do I do that? How do I know that I'm not just moving in a direction that's self-serving, but it's really God-seeking? So that's what I want to do. And this, we're going to start by asking the question, how do we hear the still small voice of God? And this concept comes 1 Kings 19 here, a time when the prophet Elijah was on the run. Queen Jezebel wanted to take his life. And, after he had done that amazing display on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, Queen Jezebel had it out for him. And really, things were not going well for Elijah. He was on the run, and he was really wondering, what was his life all about? What did his ministry really even come to? God even says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? The Lord God said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. That's some wind, right? But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Prophet Isaiah kind of tells us a similar thing. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. So let's do that. Let's talk about how do we discern God's voice? How do we hear his whisper? Rochelle and I are going to be doing this very intentionally over the next few months, but I think this has ongoing value in the life of a Christian, and really even here in this season of ministry at Redeemer. You're embarking on a season also of exploration and change. So how do we seek God's voice? So there's a few questions that I think we can ask of ourselves. I consider them kind of like theological litmus tests, okay? Either or, which is it? Is it my will or God's will? Is it my preferences or is it God's calling? So the first thing that you can ask yourself, if you got your notes there, the first blank is it surrender to God or is it pride? Pride, it comes after us in many ways. And I would say that as a pastor, now this is, again, speaking from my perspective, considering, we just looked at all those pictures and there's many, many more. Looking back over a 10-year, 11-year tenure at a congregation, you'd be surprised how much pride you can wrap up in your mind over a ministry. It's a very subtle thing, but when you've been at the helm and you've kind of been guiding and directing and leading all those years, then what happens is when you take a look back at the change and the growth and the blessing, it's very easy to find yourself saying, look what I did. Now, it sounds bad when I say it that way, right? So I'm being vulnerable here by sharing this with you. It's very tempting to look back and say, look what I did. But the truth is, whatever has happened here at Redeemer that is good has been because of God's doing. It's not to my credit, and it's not really to yours. It's to the move of his Holy Spirit. So when we want to discern God's voice and his will, we have to ask ourselves, who's going to get the credit in this action that I'm going to take? Is it going to be me? Is this something to puff up my pride? Or am I surrendering to God so that he gets the glory? That's the first question. Next one we can kind of ask ourselves is this about contentment in God, or is it about control that I'm exerting? Control is like a cousin of pride. If you find yourself saying, and again, this is from my perspective as a pastor, but I think this applies maybe to you in your job, or maybe even in different roles and positions you hold in your family. If I'm not here, this place is going to fall apart. Right? It needs me to survive. If such and such is going to happen, then I'm going to have to guide that. Again, this is just a sidebar. I'm not proud of thoughts like these. I'm sharing them with you because it's a caution if you find yourself thinking. These are common to the human existence. And we need to recognize them for what they are and root out any desire that they would have, that we would have to take control where really it is God who is to be controlling. So this one's really about, I didn't put it in the notes, if you just want to write it in the margins, let go and let God. You've probably heard that before. It's kind of the opposite of another saying you may have heard people say, if it's going to be, it's up to me. Not so much. Really, the birds of the field, they do not labor or spin, and yet your Father clothes them. So sometimes the most spiritual thing that we can do is be content with letting God have control, letting God lead, letting him move us and change things. We're usually the ones trying to do that ourselves. Everything we can control and manipulate. So that's a caution. The next one is trust versus fear, right? In today's gospel, Jesus tells us really to trust God. He says, don't worry, don't be anxious. Seek his kingdom. He's going to provide all these things for you. When we talk about the first two, pride and control, those really come down to the issue of fear, don't they? Pride is me being fearful that somebody else is going to get the glory. Control is me being fearful that something bad is going to happen if I don't step in. And really, neither of those are appropriate for the people of God. Because not only are they based on self, but they're based on... I'm afraid my phone is going to fall apart. That should be better. I came in and I hung up my alb for the first service, and the hanger that I brought from home, because my alb doesn't live in the closet anymore, hanger broke and my whole thing fell to the floor. I'm like, is that a sign? I hope not. Okay. All right, so that really brings us this issue of fear. I've said to our leaders in many times in many contexts, if we find ourselves, and you have to examine this. These are what I've tried to put together for you here are self-examination questions about your motivation, so that what you can do is cut through that and then hear God's voice. And I said, if we find ourselves operating out of fear, but this is a question you have to ask for yourself, is what I'm doing fear motivated? It's probably not the right thing. All right, so whether it's feared, prior, or control, these all come down to issues of the flesh versus the spirit. Surrender, contentment, faith, trust, all these things are the spirit working in us. So when we're listening for God's whisper, we're discerning his voice, we have to ask ourselves, is this something that I'm trying to accomplish on my own, out of my own flesh, looking for my own pride and control, or am I letting God's spirit lead and work through me, in which case it removes all the anxiety and angst from us. So you will find contentment when you do that. So, but I do want to, with all these things, I put them all up here so you can kind of see them all together. Let's look at the bad column on the right, pride, control, fear, and flesh, right? I want to say something that I've noticed, is that even if you're making the right decision, it's still possible to do it for the wrong motivation. Just like you can take any good blessing of God and you can turn it into a sin by abusing that blessing, you can take a good action but be motivated out of selfishness, pride, fear, control in the flesh, and kind of turn it around and make it, tarnish it, if you will. So you have opportunities, whether you go to the right or whether you go to the left, you can operate in pride, control, fear, and flesh in both settings. So sometimes people think, I'm just going to change my setting, I'm going to change my environment, it's going to fix everything. No, you can bring pride, control, fear, and the flesh with you, but when you're making those decisions, ask yourself, in which context am I going to be less likely to be driven by those? Which one is it obvious to me that it's for those reasons? Then I'm not going to do that. I'm going to guard against that, okay? So I believe that this issue of hearing God's voice, it's important not just for the Ida Chicos, but for the people of Redeemer as well, because as you are on this threshold of a new chapter, you're going to have opportunities. Things are going to come up. There's going to be opportunities for changes and challenges. Probably Pastor D is going to put some changes and challenges before you, and you can say, are we going to be controlled by fear or faith in the face of those things, right? You're going to have opportunities to sacrifice. Well, are we going to surrender or are we going to control? And then just looking to the future in general, are you going to do so with trust and hope or with fear? And Pastor D is not here today, and he and I didn't talk about this, but I'm pretty sure he would agree with me. Whether or not it's him or me or any pastor, your hope for the future should not be on the pastor. And so the Apostle Paul and Joel drew our attention to this at the second reading. He addressed this head on as he said, what after all is Apollos or Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. They have different roles. One waters, one plants. And he says, so neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Your trust and your hope for the future cannot be in the pastor. It must be in God. Proverbs 3 says it very plainly, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then the gospel reading for today, Jesus says it simply, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And then don't worry. And I've been in church leadership meetings. I know it can be very tempting as a church to worry about finances, worry about the growth of the church, worry about the building and all of its issues and problems. But what I want for you to hear God telling you today is not to worry about that. Let God do the worrying and taking care of the growth and all the blessing and all the sustaining that needs to happen. What he tells you to worry about, if you're focused on anything, it's the mission. That's where your attention goes. Not on the challenges, but on the mission. And he will see to the rest. And Jesus tells us the harvest is ripe. So my prayer for you today, and if you're getting anything out of this message, is that even though the pastor may be changing, mission of the church does not change. Because whether it's Pastor D, we seek his kingdom, and he attends to the rest. Well, I had all this stuff I wanted to say. I thought of so many Bible verses and so many things that I could say in this context. But I realized that, and I had a lot more memories and stories I could share, but I realized that our time is coming to a close, not only here in this moment, this Sunday morning, but really after 11 years, you know, I've been up front here week after week pointing you to the cross and letting you know that Jesus loves you. But today I want you to also know and realize the message that I have for you is Jesus loves you, but so do I. Rochelle and I love you dearly, and we've enjoyed serving with you. We're going to miss you. We'd love to hang on to this moment, but I'd like to kind of share this with you. The Bible says, while it is still day, while we still have the opportunity, we need to be about our Father's business of making disciples. That's why I'm kind of letting the last word be forward in mission, not forgetting the past. We can remember the past, but we can't stay in the past. Because the thing about the past is, it's past. That's a little pun on English. Once in a while, English weirdnesses are, you get something good out of them. Just to give you, I got just a couple more images to leave you with. And this one comes from Pastor Tim Keller and C.S. Lewis. Pastor Keller talks about his wife, her family had a little cottage on Lake Erie that her and her family went to for 39 years. And they, at this later point, this later date, they're looking back over the 39 years, they had this feeling of kind of sadness and loss because so many of the people that had you know, celebrated there and met there and gathered there had either passed or were too ill to come, and they weren't able to do that, and the cabin had kind of fallen into disrepair, and it was a source of, looking back at the past, was kind of a source of frustration. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Weight of Glory, he talks about this kind of thing, and he suggests that even if you were able to go back and fix up that cabin, now he wasn't talking specifically about the cabin, but if you were to go back for that thing that you long for, this great memory that you have of the past, he says this, those memories and those emotions are dull idols. They're just a dull idol that cannot be served, cannot be satisfied, and it cannot be recreated, because those emotions belong to that time and those experiences belong to that time. It can't be recreated. Our family experienced this ourselves. A few years after we moved to Redeemer by the Sea, and we had an opportunity to go back to Arizona, and as I told you, our kids had a lot of friends, they had all this great experience in school, and they went back and nothing was the same. Most of their friends had moved, and practically all of their teachers weren't there, and even if we'd have tried to hang on to that season of the past, we cannot. It is a dull idol that will not be served. So Jesus gives us a better way. As he's sending his disciples out, he tells them, take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts, all right? And you got to put yourself in the perspective of the disciples. I mean, Jesus is saying, mission with me is an adventure. I am sure they would have loved to have stayed in the past, stayed back with, they probably longed for the days of sitting at Jesus' feet in the synagogue and listening to him teach, or out on the hillside hearing him tell, you know, give the Beatitudes or wonderful parables. That is not what he gave them all of that for. He wanted them to remember that, take that with them, but to go forward in the journey. That's what they were meant for. Forward in the mission, not forgetting the past. Because the thing is, if we get too comfortable with where we've been, this is, I know I've been saying, I'm almost done, I'm going to leave you with this, and this is the last illustration. Actually, that's a metaphor for the whole last 3 years. But you know what it means when a pastor looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. So I was saying, I'm going to leave you with this one last illustration. I really do. It kind of has stuck in my mind, and I think it fits really well. If we get comfortable with where we are, we don't grow. When our daughter Dale, raise your hand, Dale, when she was in elementary school, do you remember this, Dale? You had to do this little thing. You had to plant these seeds and you kind of watch them grow. And we had to measure, you know, how fast they were growing and all that in front of the light and in the dark and all that. But what you definitely notice is that the plants will tend to grow toward the sun, toward the light, right? But what science teaches is what's actually happening, the phototrophic process that's happening in there, is the plant is actually growing on the dark side, if you will, of the plant to make it lean. But even though it looks like it's fine, look at that plant in the lower left. It is not healthy leaning in that direction. So gardeners know this. You have to turn the plant so that the light shines on the other side. And it seems dangerous because that plant was very comfortable leaning in this direction. But you need to turn it so it will grow on the side that the sun don't shine. Oh boy, Pastor Augie's analogy is not working really well. He's talking about ministry where the sun don't shine. What I'm trying to say is that as a gardener needs to move the plant so the other side gets the sun, I think God is shaking up both congregation and pastor's life so that we grow in the areas where we haven't grown. Through the decade of ministry, we don't even realize the things that we've got comfortable and we've just leaned in a certain direction. And by shaking things up and turning things around, it feels uncomfortable at first. When you turn those plants and they're like they're practically in the shade, you're like, how is this going to work? That's the light. But no, you have to know that turn is what helps you grow on the other side. And so that sticks in my mind as maybe an illustration that will be helpful to you, growing on the other side. And then you heard in the Old Testament reading, I will leave you with this, I promise. As we look forward in mission and we do not forget the past, is the Old Testament reading, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah says, I will not forget you. I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. So whether it was Jesus saying, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, or as the prophet Isaiah saying, I will not forget you, those both express my heart for you today. Seek His kingdom, but forget. We won't. You have a God who is in great. He will never forget you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's engraved you on the palm of His hands. You are His. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. We see your hand over all our ministry, our relationships, our very lives. Help us to hear your still small voice, to discern your will as you guide us, and as pastors, may we not give in to the pride, fear, and control, but may we move forward in mission, trusting you, seeking your kingdom and your righteousness, such that there be more people in heaven on the last day, work that we do today. In Jesus' name we pray.